Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of an ill man and his partner, who is also ill. It's 8 o'clock on the 29th of December 2024. It's 8:10, according to that clock, actually. And we have surfaced from another night of pure nightmares and attempts at sleeping at this medieval game of torture which has descended upon us. And I've been sent down into the cold bowels of my house to conjure up some warmth in the form of watery drinks. But stupidly last night we didn't filter enough water, so I've got to wait for that to happen. I do have a reverse osmosis machine, but it's such a faff on occasions. The cat, of course, never relents from letting me know as I come down in the morning. It's sodding well hungry. It's always bloody hungry. It's the most well-fed animal in the world. Yes, I'm doing it. Please, please do not continually rub yourself against my leg. Just cease. I will do the feeding. But I need to get on. I need to do it. So please just move away and wait like you used to do. So I'm talking to the cat, who I am dodging my leg so it doesn't continually try to rub his body against it. Not that I've got anything against his body, and I don't want anything against his body. It is coming, cat, it is coming. We have this special food for him. It's called food. And then he looks at it and he turns his nose up. No, I've done it. I have fed you, so piss off. I've just got to wait for some water to filter, my love. And then I can make our hot drinks. So it's Sunday, it's overcast, it's cold. Looks like there's a sort of frost on some people's windows. Do you know the sun came out for about 30 minutes yesterday? There was an actual rent in the cloud, and the sun came out for 30 seconds. It may have been a full minute. I don't wish to exaggerate and to keep people's optimism high. This has now completed a week of illness. And whilst some people may feel I am grossly exaggerating the peril of this suffering, I can assure you it feels like it's been a month. I tried to do a video yesterday. I actually set up the lights, the armchair. I got dressed very dapperly. Everything was perfect, except the individual twit who was sitting in front of the camera, who looked like a wrung out dishcloth. Dehydrated, dried by the parched sun of a Seville orange. And I looked back and I could hear the broken tone, and this little twerp of a man was trying to say, "Hello, I'm on my way back." So I rejected it. I couldn't put it out. I looked so ill, people would just think, well, he's dead, isn't he? That's just his ghost. This is just an ethereal version of him. I tell you what. This is, it's like some satanic beast has entered into the body, gone around, done whatever it was supposed to do, then withered and died, gone black, like licorice, and as hard as tar, and has stuck to every surface on the inside of the skin. And now one is, as one moves about, is cracking that black, like you might crack 50-year-old concrete with a small palette knife. Hello, my love.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
To see you, nice.
The lovely Julia has entered, clanging onto a wild animal.
He came running upstairs. Is that unusual?
Yes, I told him to piss off.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Well, I was trying to sort out the food for him, and he was constantly rubbing himself against my leg. I was trying to dodge round him all the time so that I could...
Oh, I'm sorry about that. That's just him being affectionate. But, yeah. Try not to do that, Momo.
And then, try not to show any affection whatsoever. Because at the moment...
Don't bother showing him affection, Bobby.
Yes. Because when one wants that affection and you're sort of croaking it on your lying on the sofa alone, he doesn't come over. He seems to do it to you. When I was abandoned, sitting here, feeling miserable, the little wretch wouldn't come and show any affection. And yet every morning I feed him, every night I feed him, I open the door for him. Anyway, I fed him. He just looked at one, took his nose up, and no, I don't want that, thank you. I don't want it. I will read this entry and go and finish making the tea. This is not the penultimate. The 29th, Dorothy Wordsworth, 1801 in Westmoreland. Sorry. Didn't have it in front of me. And she says of this day, a thin fog upon the hills. A thin fog upon the hills, which soon disappeared. The sun shone. As we ascended the hill, it grew very cold and slippery. Luckily, the wind was at our backs and helped us on. A sharp hail shower gathered at the head of the Matterdale, and the view upwards was very grand. The wild cottages, seen through the hurrying hail shelter, and the wind drove and eddied about, and the hills looked very large and swelling through the storm. I've no idea what she just wrote there. It sounds like she was writing like some wild beast in the night. Is what I feel I am at the moment. So yesterday has not, it would seem, cleared this wretched illness. It is like no other illness I have suffered before. Oh, I'm just coming to do it.
Yeah.
Don't fill it too much. It just takes so flipping long.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Well, he's just run out of the room because you come in. He was eating nicely.
Yes. Well, I am the devil incarnate to him. What tea would you like?
Oh, no. Oh. pot. Yes, this one. You should have one more box of that stuff.
I will search.
I think there was 5 of them originally.
Go sit and I will make. Or
healthy lunch.
Lunch?
Healthy lunch.
So about the lack of communication at that stage, I was just like some autonomous zombie, getting on with my marching orders. And building the atmosphere, like some radio drama. I did manage to go down to the corner shop. How thrilling for you. Yes, it was. Thank you for mentioning it. No, it's my pleasure. I will try an ordinary tea. Not that I can really taste very much. Yes, I bought some bleach. Prepare to be shocked here. I bought some washing up liquid. I bought some black bags. I bought some little sponges to wash up in the washing up bowl. I didn't buy a washing up bowl. I already had a washing up bowl. I washed up about 50 times yesterday. And there's only the pair of us here. I don't know. It's just everything seems so damn slow at the moment. Do you want honey in your tea? Julia's been getting quite severe headaches. And I said it's probably the sugar. And you would be advised to eradicate the sugar, even the honey. Just at least to give it a try. Right. Hot liquid in cups, incoming. But the good news is that Julia has been given some respite because her ex was supposed to be coming back this evening with the children, and so therefore tomorrow Julia would have to face the bloody children. Not that I don't mean they're bloody or anything, but the situation of having to deal with anybody other than herself when you're feeling so wretched, and I know how wretched she's feeling because I have been there 3 days ago. And the respite is that he, miraculously for him, because normally he would be as back here as soon as he could, has decided to stay up another 24 hours, which means Julia has 2 full days to recover, at least certainly by tomorrow evening, enough to be able to deal with other people.
My very overactive youngest.
And that I will then be relieved of duty. And what's that? That's the 30th, isn't it?
Yes.
And then on the 31st, New Year's Eve, you've got somebody coming over, but Julia can't make it because her ex has taken a New Year's Eve job, and I will have Ed to myself, assuming I am capable and not going to pass anything on. Not that...
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you picked that up on the deep resonance of...
Bass. Some alleged music.
Is that music?
Some car.
But all it was is bass, no tune.
No.
just a sort of
we just vibration. Essentially heard the chassis of the car vibrate.
Mm. Very odd.
Very odd. I don't
know. We read a large section of Dawn Lester's book and David Parker's book, What Really Makes You Ill. Everything you thought you knew about illness is wrong. And talked about viruses, germ theory, and polio vaccination, which was something that Julia tries to argue against her mother and wasn't fully informed enough to be able to put her case strongly.
Yeah. Or rather, polio was always the thing Mum would turn around and say, but, oh, well, if it weren't for vaccines, we wouldn't have, you know, we would still have polio. So now I could turn around and say, well, actually, if we didn't have vaccines, we'd have never had polio.
Mm.
Potentially.
Because polio, as we read, was a disease of the nervous system, paralysis of the nervous system.
Yeah.
And, of course, it came around at a point in history.
It was caused by the metals in the soup that the smallpox vaccine.
And all the noxious substances.
Toxic. Yeah.
Toxic substances, DDT.
All of that lot.
That was sprayed on fruit and veg.
That was being sprayed everywhere. All the herbicides.
And that was finally, I think, I can't remember if she said it was in the United States or in England, in 1972, it was finally banned, DDT. But yes, and then people, they developed the smallpox vaccine and more people died as a result of having the smallpox vaccine, but not from smallpox, but from other things such as polio, that the smallpox vaccine contained mercury, quicksilver and various other things. And not necessarily died, but their central nervous system was
affected
by paralysis. And so, you know, the illusion is now, I remember last year somebody sent me a little booklet and I read it. It was only a PDF. I haven't got the actual booklet, which is a shame. Or did I get that? I can't remember. And it was an analysis of the smallpox vaccine from 1954. And in it, it listed the deaths that it's supposed to have saved. And it said, you know, so many cases of smallpox and so many before the vaccine, smallpox vaccine, and then so many cases in the subsequent years afterwards. And yes, people were still dying of smallpox, but not in so many numbers. So it sounded fantastic until you saw the other channel, the other channels, tabs, lists, lines, what do you call it, on the graph, can't think of the term.
Bars.
And you look at the other diseases that were prevalent at that time, such as paralysis and other problems. And as a result of the smallpox vaccine, you started to see where the numbers were in single figures, say 1, 3, 5 in 1930, whatever it might be, from certain very obscure diseases. As the years went by after people and the numbers of smallpox inoculations went up, the numbers of these more obscure things increased to the point of absurdity, and clearly you could see that actually this was that more people were given the smallpox vaccination, the more were dying of other things, which were far nastier than the smallpox in the first place. Julia's pulled something out.
Intrigued by that. I thought it was, did you have some, like, Aaron tank top jump,
That's in there somewhere.
In there.
What is that? Aaron Kuhn talk tet.
Octoroon quadrille. We looked it up once. I don't remember much about it. It was a piece of music.
Oh, yes, this is one of our viewers sent us this piece of music. I don't know whether she thought you could play it.
I can't read music. I'm still trying to learn.
Yes, the trouble with music is they will insist on using a lot of black dots with tails, either upwards or downwards. And until they understand that if you were not to do that system, Julia would be able to read it. So there we are. Anyway, that's 20 minutes of your life wasted and 20 minutes of mine more satisfied, for I feel I've given a better account of myself, even though still ropey.
Ropey old clown.
Ropey old clown. Till next time, thank you for listening. If you didn't, oh, what can I tell you? Start at the beginning, work your way through. Till then, bye-bye.
Goodbye.